For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey, friends. Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. Once again, I'm here with Matt. My name is Ben Sternke, and I'm here with Matt today.
Here I am.
Yeah, there you are. Good, good. I kind of expected you to say something right afterwards. So anyway, guys, we want to just during this, it feels like things are changing so quickly every day. Hey, Parker, we're recording this if you're listening to this podcast later, we are recording this on Facebook Live as well. Would appreciate any interaction that you guys may have. And so
yes.
Wanted to just say, as we're sort of navigating this this very new situation, as trying to be the church, trying to lead well during this coronavirus pandemic, we thought we might just start releasing a few episodes of our podcast that are a little bit shorter, just real time learnings, realizations, mm-hmm. kairoses, to use our language. See where that takes us. See if that's helpful. I know it'll be helpful for me, just to talk through some of this stuff. Matt and I do a lot of talking through this stuff because we co-pastor. But hopefully it'll be helpful to you as well, to just kind of get this stuff out there. So Matt, I thought today yep. we could talk about, I know this is, one of the things we want to talk about in this episode is disorientation. I was just telling you before we hit record that I'm realizing that one of the reasons I'm feeling a lot more anxiety than I usually do in this time, which is obviously mm-hmm. probably most of us are. But for me, I'm realizing that one of my realizations is that this pandemic is causing a new feeling of disorientation for me because I am used to, and maybe you can just help me process this, Matt, or maybe you have some reflections on it. But I was saying to Matt, I am used to being able to, as a leader, look at a situation and take in, I'm actually really good typically under stress. I can take in a lot of inputs, a lot of different sort of varying inputs, and this is part of my personality, but I can step back from the situation, turn my feelings off, and look at it from an objective standpoint. And right. figure out what's best for the common good.
Right.
I'm familiar with that feeling, but I am finding during this pandemic, because the information about what's wise and what's not wise is it's coming at us minute by minute, feels like.
Yep.
This is what we need to do. And so one minute I feel like, oh, we should be on lockdown like Italy. And the next minute I'm like, oh, actually we can get together in groups. We just have to, practice this social distancing stuff. So anyway, because the information seems to be coming at me so quickly, I'm finding it very disorienting because I'm used to being able to step back and sort of on a gut level feel like I know what we should do.
Yeah.
And normally it's a pretty good decision. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but normally it feels like this is a good decision. This is for the common good. But I feel like I don't know what is best. I don't know you know, what to, like, which direction to point people. And I feel like it changes all the time. And so I feel, I feel really weird, Matt.
Welcome to the rest of the world. Welcome to how we all feel all the time, Ben.
Not all of you. Some of you must feel like me some of the time.
No, I think what I reflected, like, we talked about recording these little audio clips for our church. And yesterday, like, we agreed to do it and you thought it was a great idea. And we set a time to do it this morning. And then I pinged you at the time this morning and you're like, I don't think we should do this. We didn't talk about this. Well, I was like, what? Yeah, and then I connect with you 3 hours later and you're like, you know what? We should not only do that. We should do something for gravity too. I named it as volatile.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not usually very volatile.
And here's what occurred to me after I said that and after you started reflecting on it. This is the Enneagram 4 stuff that you go to in stress.
Oh, yeah, man. That's probably right.
This is it. This is what Enneagram it's like 4. To be me.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you. If anybody knows what an average Enneagram 4 is, it's yours truly.
Anyway, yeah, so that's how I feel. I feel disoriented. So.
Yeah, I think what you're feeling is the interior world is overwhelming your like it's like tilt on the pinball machine.
Mm-hmm.
Too much stimulus hitting all the gauges, and none of them are working right.
Right.
And you feel like you can't make decisions on confidence and clarity like you used to because everything's turned up to 11.
Yeah. Everything's turned up to 11. It feels like there's a lot at stake. And so it feels like I think in my unreflective moments, I just end up trying to take in more information, hoping that something will become clear.
Yeah, but it doesn't. What I'm lacking it doesn't is, keep what I'm coming clear. More, yeah, I'm lacking. I need more context.
I need a bit more input. Yes. And once I can get all the input in, then something will emerge as like, here's what to do. So we're trying, like, you know, this is real time for us in our church. We're trying to figure out what to do this Sunday. Last Sunday we did morning prayer, which was fine, and we could probably do that again. But, you know, we're a sacramental tradition, and so, you know, taking the Eucharist is a big deal, and like, there's a lot of questions around that. And so I'm pinging a bunch of priests in this group chat that we've got going, and I'm asking all these questions that are like, they're just tumbling around in my mind constantly. Yep. And I'm trying to settle on a good course of action. That not only is safe, but also then like gives people confidence as they're following, you know, our leadership as well.
Yep.
That like, okay, I can, you know, I can participate in this way, and still feel safe. Anyway, it's crazy, man. It's disorienting. I don't know if other,
I'm sure
other leaders are experiencing, similar kinds, but also other kinds of disorientation as well.
Yeah. For me,
this season. Yeah. For what is it for you,
me?
Matt?
Yeah. For me, I'm feeling, incredulity and I'm exacerbated. I'm chronically in sort of this, you've got to be kidding me state of,
as it regards like the virus or like the response to the virus. What do you mean?
As it regards to the event of the virus.
I see. And
like the cultural happening.
I see.
So the virus is bringing to the surface everything that is already going on in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
It just highlights it increases the contrast.
Right.
We're going from standard definition to 4K
right.
with all this stuff. And I'm fascinated by it. Like culturally, I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah.
I'm just super fat. Like, you know, I was talking to somebody on my Facebook wall somebody threw out that this I asked a question basically like, when you hear the term foreign virus, what do you think? Do you think of foreign as like just a descriptor where it's from? Do you see it as xenophobic and racist? Do you see it as like a conspiracy theory, like China created some biological weapon to use on their people
on purpose?
And, you know, I think there was a good mixture of people saying there's nothing wrong with the word foreign. It's just describing something that happened overseas. And then probably a larger number of people were like, yeah, clearly it's racist. And then two people, though, one was like, how dare you ever mention that this came from China? And how dare you propagate these racist ideas?
So it's racist of you to even talk about it and ask about it.
To even name it. To even name it as something people are saying. Hmm. Like I got lit up on my page and then also lit up in my DMs about it.
They slid into your DMs?
They didn't slide. They crashed.
Crashed right into those DMs.
And then somebody else was like, somebody else kind of went in the opposite direction and dropped sort of like this. Of course, it's a foreign virus. It's from all these dirty people are always bringing dirty things into our culture. Like, basically, that's what they said.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
Wow, man.
And I was like, dude, you've got to realize this is the same language that people who commit holocausts and genocides and enslave people, this is the same way that they talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
And he's sort of like, well, what? It's true. Can I not see? Does truth not matter anymore? And I was like, once again, I'm telling you, repent. and then he pivoted to, well, at least I'm not using the word deplorable.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, those are just two examples of, like, stuff that's always there. This guy hasn't changed because of this virus.
Yeah. It just brought something to the surface.
That lady who lit me up, she didn't change because of this virus.
Mm-hmm.
This is always there. But like a giant magnet, it draws it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I am fascinated by it, Ben. I'm like, I think if I wasn't a pastor, I would be like an anthropologist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just fascinated with this stuff.
But I also hear you naming, Matt, though, that you are not just objectively, academically fascinated with it, but you're also frustrated by it, like personally, exacerbated, as you said. Exasperated?
I think
that the same thing?
Nope. I think exasperated has something to do with aspiration, and exacerbated has something to do with cerbation.
All right, I'm going to look it up. But I think we have more conversations about like the meanings of words on this podcast than you would think that we would on a podcast about leadership.
Because we just haphazardly use words. We use them as they come to mind, and then we're like, I think that makes sense. Yeah.
And I've always loved like a good word, and so I kind of store them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to look it up here.
You're probably like me, though. You don't like have a list of words you're trying to slip into conversations.
No, it's not intentional. No, yeah.
One just pops in your head. Although I will say...
it's more intuitive.
I will say the last time I heard a word that I had to be much fun to say...
Mm-hmm. Oh, Matt, I lost you. Matt, you're back. Internet probs. Everybody's on the internet watching Netflix. They're staying at home. All right. What were you going to say? Last time there was something about a word.
The last time I found a word and I'm like, oh, I've got to use that. Was the word jiggery pokery.
That's a good one, jiggery pokery.
It's a great word. Yeah. I think it's a hyphenated word.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Do you want to hear, I just looked up these words. You guys, for the record, do you want to hear the difference between exasperate and exacerbate?
I think Spencer and Scott Lemming do, yes.
Okay.
Who I know are listening.
Yes. So here we go. The definition of exasperate is to cause irritation or annoyance or to excite the anger of. Okay. So that's exasperate. Exacerbate is to increase the severity.
Just to make something worse.
It's to cause annoyance. But to exacerbate is similar. It's to increase the severity, violence, or bitterness of. It's to aggravate.
Hmm.
Thus, I think what you might be meaning to say then is that all of this stuff, this cultural phenomenon, what it's causing seems to be an exacerbation of your exasperation.
That's it. I think that's it. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Oh, that's exactly what Spencer said. Spencer was way on top. He was on top of it way before this.
Yeah. So. Yeah. He knows.
Well done.
He knows things. All this to say, yes. So like I'm fascinated by it, but it also tends to just rile me up.
Mm-hmm.
I live kind of in a state of, I can't believe this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And what is going on? I feel like I've been there for a while now. Like, I think I've been there. Mm. I think the election of President Trump has created this rift within Christianity.
Yeah.
And American Christian culture. Mm. That's it's exposed deep rifts that go beneath doctrinal statements.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And that's new for us culturally. Like, it's always been there, but I think the election of Donald Trump, I mean, I have friends that no longer use the word evangelical because of that. I have friends that who are on the other side too, who are like, how can anybody think that Donald Trump is bad for Christian witness and America? And both those people, they're like, neither of them are like clinically insane. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, neither of them are crazy.
Yeah.
And so, but I think in the same way, like, this whole virus thing is sort of bringing out dynamics that were inherent in that, but other ones. And I find myself just kind of being in this state of, what is happening? Like, what is going on? We were reflecting earlier today, Ben, like, I think one of the things I'm noticing increasingly is that there's, a incredible amount of gaslighting happening.
Explain what you mean by that. Everybody knows what gaslighting is.
Maybe it was always happening. Like, maybe gaslighting was always happening and I just wasn't dialed into it. But gaslighting is like when you, so for instance, I'm trying to think of something that won't trigger people.
Here's an example that I thought of. So gaslighting, it's kind of a minor thing, but like in an argument with somebody, if somebody says something that hurts your feelings, right, and you come to them and you say, hey, when you said that hurt my feelings, and they say to you, that's not what I said, or like, that's not what that means, or you took that the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like, anytime where they, instead of caring for you and sort of the feelings you're having about this, they just sort of, they kind of end up reversing it and just saying like, you're the problem.
Yeah. It's like when somebody manipulates you psychologically to make you question your own sanity, or like, did this happen? Or, you know,
and not necessarily intentionally either. It's just like it's a defense mechanism, I think, a lot of times for people. So
no, right. And I see it happening increasingly over and over and over. And all the examples I can think of are happening by Republicans in governmental office right now. So this isn't a partisan thing. Like, lots of people do this, but I just keep thinking of, you know, those examples and, I know those trigger people. So I'm feeling anxious. And it's not anxious because I'm like, I need to stockpile weapons and toilet paper because this virus is going to wipe out humanity and here comes the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not anxious. I mean, there's a little bit of anxiety about like our business and our church and can we pay the bills?
Mm-hmm.
But more so the anxiety is like, do we have a culture? Do we have a society worth, like, do we have any coherence or synergy around anything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I can call a pandemic, if I can downplay a pandemic and say it's under control for months, and then say, I knew this was a pandemic before anybody else did, and I've been saying that forever, and nobody blinks an eye. Like, I feel like we're living in like the novel 1984.
Right. Europa has always been at war with, you know, like that. Yeah. The ministry of, I can't remember what they called it, but where they just change facts. We've always been at war with this country. Yeah.
Yes. I love sci-fi. I love it. And I've read all these apocalyptic sci-fi novels and I feel like I'm living in one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or so like the death of Rome. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like a great empire is crumbling.
Yeah, it's not going to be the Taliban or people coming across our border that will do us in. It's going to be us. Mm. You know, like we're, you know what I mean? Like we're the ones who are deluding ourselves into destruction.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's enough prophet in me that I want to like wake people up or like walk through the streets naked and start shouting for people to repent. You know, like there's enough in me that wants to do that. But then I know that's not my responsibility. And how do I care for my church? And I kind of just bounce between that. So I didn't sleep last night. Went to bed at 10 and woke up at 2, was awake until 7:30. I did catch the season 3 premiere of Westworld, by the way. At around 4:45 a.m., a perfect time to watch. Yeah,
what was it like to watch it that early in the morning?
It was great. I thought maybe this would put me to sleep, but it was so darn good it didn't.
Yeah, it was really good.
And then I went back up to bed at 7:30 and slept till 9:30. So I pieced together about 6 hours of sleep last night. But still, like, I know that I need to figure out a different way of allowing what's happening into my being.
Yeah. And again, the goal for you, like you need to, not just for your own peace of mind, right? But for those that you're responsible to, like to totally. Lead, you know what I mean? And so like, I think what both of us are naming are things that are coming up for us personally that like, unless we can address them, unless we can hear some good news, you know, about these things and live into a different way of inhabiting this current crisis, it's going to hinder our ability to lead and, you know, care for the people that we are called to care for, which, you know, that's our families, that's our church that we pastor together. And, you know, on another level, I feel like the Gravity Leadership community, which, you know, I've got people in coaching cohorts that, you know, in one sense or another are looking, you know, to me, to us, you know, not to tell them what to do, but to, you know, be able to lead and guide. And so anyway, that's a big part of leading. You know, it's not just this skill you can turn on and turn off. It's like, it's inherently connected to your personhood and what's happening in your person, in your soul. And so you have to tend to those things. And so anyway, it's been helpful for me to realize, oh wow, I have some, I think for a couple of days I was just on adrenaline. And then, you know, once there's just more and more information coming and it's uncharted territory and, you know, there's no instruction manual for this. Like the more those things started becoming real, I think I just started feeling more and more disoriented. Like, I don't know what's best to do. That's a really weird feeling for me. I usually sort of feel like I know what to do.
Yes.
So anyway.
Yeah. So that matters. Yeah, that ahead. Matters because we're trying to figure out what to do this Sunday.
Right. This Sunday.
To do with our worship time and how to, in particular, if we do communion and how we do communion together.
Right.
Yep. Or not together.
Right.
That also matters with just trying to stay connected to our church.
That's right.
Trying to be present and available to people. Mm-hmm. You know, we mentioned yesterday on the podcast, I think it's going to come out today, that we want to be physically distant but socially connected.
Yeah.
So how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just thinking too about, I mean, I think we mentioned this yesterday too, but I was talking this morning with you about like, how do Christians think about things like this? Like what kind of hope or reassurance or confidence in the Lord do we need and is helpful right now?
Yeah. And what's not and helpful that people sometimes reach for impulsively.
Yeah. And so like we were discussing, like a lot of the impulsive reaching goes towards like, God is in control. God's got this.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to critique that because, you know, I think we affirm the classical understanding of God's sovereignty.
Yeah. But it's problematic when you phrase it that way, right?
Why do you think it's problematic?
Well, tell you why don't we record? Let's hit pause. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, then this will be the next episode. I'd love to keep some of these like rapid fire episodes a little bit shorter.
Rapid 24-minute fires.
Yeah, we did okay. We always have something to say. So friends, that'll be it for this episode. If you're listening on the podcast, do hit us up, email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. If you have ideas, if you have reflections, if you have questions, about, or if you have ideas, resources, things that have been helpful for you, we want to collate and collect, curate a lot of resources for leaders and find a way to get that out to you. So join our email list, gravityleadership.com/join. And that way we can make sure to stay in communication while this unfolds. Yeah. All right.
Can I ask our listeners to pray for us?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'd for good self-care.
Amen.
Which means silence, prayer, sleep.
Yes.
For me.
Yep. Yeah. And for me, it means very similar things. I need time for prayer, contemplation. I need time, you know, with family, sort of brainstorming, troubleshooting. And I need time. I was realizing, like, I still have lots of normal work to get done, and I haven't been doing it. And that sort of stresses me out in the back of my mind, but I was realizing I need time to just do my normal work, not just this emergency triage work. Like I need to keep getting my normal work done. So anyway, yes, do please pray for us. Thank you, Dave Warner, for offering to pray for us. We really appreciate that.
Thank you. Great.
All right. We'll see you next time, friends. Yep. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.